You know our slogan around here is better practice, better life. But we're taking this belief to the next level. And we've recently announced the creation of a new association. It's called the Best Practices Association. Our association celebrates the mindset that is better practice, better life. This mindset celebrates time, healthy living, personal growth, clinical excellence, and impacting the lives of your patients and your team through intentional leadership. In fact, we are the work-life balance experts in dentistry. The BPA will coach independent dental practices like yours to thrive by sharing best practices and operational habits, behaviors, systems, tools, and insight that lead to profitability and sustained growth, and you can still have a life. So if you're a dentist that wants to surround yourself with great thinkers, let us help you create your own version of better practice, better life. Go to actdental.com/BPA or hit the link in the show notes. Best Practices Show. My name is Kirk Behrendt, and you are listening to a great podcast today and just something we absolutely love where we're just here to give you great information, make sure you create a better practice, a better life. And if you're here for the first time, I just want to do two things. Number one, I want to welcome you to a great community of people where there's no egos here. We're just all here to learn. And dentistry is an incredible profession. So I hope you keep showing up every single day. Number two, you know, because we look at the metrics, a lot of young dentists and dental students are coming out now watching. I'm going to encourage you to subscribe. So if you're listening on iTunes or you're watching the podcast, click down there below at the subscribe button. I don't care if you're listening to it on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify. Make sure you subscribe because you'll see every single week we're going to bring you a key opinion leader or a great thought leader in dentistry, and they're going to bring great information just like today. Also, keep checking back. I have my writers put together all the show notes based on what Dave and I talk about. So everything Dave mentions, Dave's going to mention a book today, an ebook that you can get. And anything he mentions, you'll see. Just flip up to the show notes. I'm going to make this the easiest learning for you ever. And you can just click right on the link. It'll take you directly to what Dave is talking about. And then lastly, I'm always going to invite you to meet us over in the Facebook group. We started this private Facebook group. I don't know anything about private Facebook groups, but in the COVID, during the COVID-19 dental relief conference, we started it as just a support group for questions around anything, infection control, just, you know, HR, and the thing grew like crazy. Now there's over 13,000 people in there. So I'm going to invite you to just show up over there, join the group, and we can continue the conversation over there. So if you have questions today about membership plans, how to introduce this to your team, or if your team has difficulty with it, join us over there and you'll see there's a ton of people, not just us, but a lot of people that are willing to help in a lot of respects. So I want to introduce my guest today. So Dave, you and I have been friends for a long time. Actually, you were kind of new on the scene and there was a lot of people doing this and this is not a new concept. And then when I met you, I was like, holy cow, this guy is crazy smart. So you'll see as Dave's talking today, I'm going to be on a little bit of a delay. I'm like, that's brilliant. Let me think about what he just said for a second. But I want to start here. If people don't know who you are, they don't know what CLEAR is. Can we just start there first? And then we're going to start to unpackage how you actually drop bad PPOs.
Great. Thanks, Kirk. It's quite an intro. Hopefully I can live up to it. But yeah, so CLEAR, what we do at CLEAR is we help dental practices set up membership plans. And your audience probably knows what a membership plan is, but very quickly, it's basically a dental care plan the dental practice designs and offers directly to their patients, getting rid of the insurance middleman. And by doing that, obviously, it's more economic for the practice and for the patient. You can actually design plans that are customized for the demographics of your practice. You can do things like create, you know, custom features. Like we have some dental practices that will offer like toothbrushes as part of their membership plans. And there, you can make it as custom as you want, but you're designing it based on the needs of your practice and your patients and offering it directly. So it's a better deal for the patient, better deal for the practice. You can get rid of all the hassles and costs of a middleman. And just by the way, we, you know, just as a to talk about how we're innovating a little bit, we just announced that we're releasing something called Clear Employer Care that will enable a dental practice to offer a dental benefit directly to local employers in addition to, to their patients.
Yeah, that is, see, as you guys are going to see, or you're going to hear, Dave's always up in his game. Like, he's got quite the career, and you can visit our previous podcast to learn. This guy's brilliant. And I want to start here though. You know, when we're talking about memberships, this is not about trash. I mean, we are going to trash PPOs. Let's just go in there. We will say this, but I think one of the things that's really clear is, we're going to talk about how you better succeed in the future as a dentist. Because let's talk about the why of this. PPOs are not getting any easier to work with. I mean, they're not going to have a reconciliation where they're like, you know what? We've been pretty bad to dentists the last couple of years. Let's fix that. It's going to become more and more complex in the future, don't you think?
Absolutely. I mean, if you think about COVID and the impact it has had on dental plans. So you, on average, the ADA has measured about a 20% decrease in production for a dental practice in the U.S. They've also said that costs have increased by 5 to 10% for things like PPE, right? Infection control, patient distancing. So you got an increase in cost, you got a decrease in production, and you were already dealing with major issues of trying to make dental insurance profitable for your practice. So I always say, you know, dental insurance went from broken to obsolete because of COVID. And you're at, it's a point now where we're hearing for dental practices, they're basically at the breaking point. They can't really, you know, a lot of dental practice or dental insurance is just completely unprofitable for dental practices now.
Right. Now, you know, this can go one of two ways. Like, we can sit here and trash benefits, and that's not helpful because there's another side of it. Patients do value the fact that they get something. And so I know you're going to talk about that in the course of this hour, but like, let's start with the basics. I know we're going to cover seven steps, but give us a little precursor of where we're going and how would I do this? Because if I'm a dentist, and you're probably going to dispel a lot of the myths. I'm like, well, it's a discount plan. I'm going to give all this money away. And I'm, you know, the first thing I'm going to say to my team is we're going to do this. And they're going to go, well, you've been talking about not doing insurance. Now you're going to bring in an insurance. You're going to create your own insurance. So just, let's start with the basics if I'm a young dentist watching this.
Yeah. So basically the membership plan is one, the most important part of it is you control it. So you design it, you price it however you want. And so you don't have this third party forcing you into pricing or you know, terms at all. So, you know, you and we as at Clear will help you do this. We'll take a look at your dental practice. We'll take a look at your patient demographics. We'll say, okay, based on your demographics, based on what you're trying to do as a practice, here's the three or four care plans you want to offer, and we help you design those. And what's great about that is, let's say you have an older population within your dental practice, you can create a care plan just for them. It's not being forced by some third party. We can customize that care plan, let's say for, you know, patients that are 65 plus. We can customize a care plan for children and obviously for adults and so, and perio patients. So you can customize care plans directly for those patients. And what you're doing is basically taking control and getting rid of costs and hassles in the process. So you're not leaving your patients high and dry. You're actually giving them something better. They actually really value that something's been designed for them, the care is aligned to their needs, and also that you got rid of a lot, all the hassles. So there's no waiting periods, right? There's no co-pays, there's no deductibles, all that stuff goes away. And they're paying your practice directly for those care plans. So you're getting a much better deal. You can create recurring subscription revenue model. And what we see with our practices that offer a membership plan, the patients who get the membership plan relative to uninsured or uncovered patients will come in 2 to 3 times more often, and they'll accept twice the amount of treatment. We have this all documented. We can show it to you if you set up a demo. But the net is, it's better for everybody. It's better for the patient. It's better for the practice. And you get repeat customers just like an Amazon Prime or Netflix or other subscription model you have out there.
Yeah. Now go back to that. You have to go back to that because that's one of my number one. You're a data guy. You look at a lot of data. That's the number one dispelled myth, is that a lot of dentists that are mature, young, like, look, listen, I'm fee for service. My patients come in 2 times a year and I take care of it. And I get that. I totally get that. The data proves otherwise. Can you just expand on that a little bit?
Yeah, we actually will do data analysis for our practices, anyone that wants it. And we'll look at their practice management data and actually show them how their patients are behaving. And we typically do this 6 to 12 months after you launch your membership plan, because you want to get some data, you know, to show, you know, what's going on. But Yeah, so we get that comment all the time. Well, my uninsured patients already come in. Well, actually, the average we see is uninsured patients will come in once every 2 years. That's the average. I don't know what else to say. That's the average we get when we pull it out of the practice.
I don't want to hear that.
And so if you're doing really well, you're getting them in maybe once a year. That'd be a, exceptional performance across all your uninsured patients. And it's really simple, Kirk. Like when a patient has a plan, it doesn't have to be a membership plan. It can be another plan. Just so they have a plan, they come in 2 to 3 times more often. It's just a fact. It's been documented many times. We see it in the data. So insured patients come in 2 to 3 times more often than uninsured patients. And you would obviously want those uninsured coming in more often, but they won't. They just don't on average. So what you want to do is give those uninsured patients a dental plan that then gets them coming in more often. And then what ends up happening from that, it's a really simple knock-on effect is if you have a dental plan, you come in 2 to 3 times more often. Where does treatment come from? Well, 75% of treatment acceptance comes as part of your hygiene visit. So if you're coming in for your hygiene visit, you end up accepting a lot more treatment. That's the simple math, and it ends up being you drive about twice the production for membership plan patients versus uninsured patients.
Yeah, and let's talk about the world and where it's headed. I mean, it's really hard to find a business model that doesn't have a membership program. I hate it when I go through the Costco, checkout, and they're like, you need to renew, and I'm like, I gotta renew, type of thing. Netflix. Could you imagine a country club without a membership? Like, I think it's the new economy more than anything. And we're also talking about retention for patients. Now, one other thing too, because I know you're creating something that's a benefit that's going to get patients in, keep them. And you're the own, it's a plan where there's only one dentist on it. It's you. There's no administrator. There's no rules. All the stuff that you hate previously is gone. You make all the rules, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. So that's a key thing. I didn't even mention that. It's your plan with your patient. There are no other dental practices in the plan. So it's very straightforward. And coming back to that, everything's a subscription now. I just bought a new heating and air conditioning system for my house.
Yeah.
They offered me a subscription. I was like, why do I have to buy a subscription? And then they started talking to me about it. They actually have it connected, right, digitally right back to their center. And they're monitoring it. If issues come up, they're going to come out. And then I asked them how much. And it was something like $15 a month. I was like, yeah, to keep my HVA system running in my house. Yeah, that makes sense, right? That's a small thing to pay for how much I invested in this whole system. So I was a little bit shocked that there's a subscription system for heating and air conditioning.
Now, I'm going to stop you right there because I have a leak in my house. And I got a plumber coming tomorrow. And guess what? They have the same thing. It's $15 a month and they do electric. Now, I'm telling you, as soon as I got that, I'm like, well, that's easy. It's $15 a month. They're going to charge me for all the other stuff, but it bypasses the visit fee, all that stuff. And it keeps them on my phone so that whenever I need them, they're top of mind. It's genius. It's brilliant. Yeah.
And then, if yours is the same as the one I was offered, you get a little bit more of a discount off of their services if you need them.
So I'm asking for that tomorrow. That's awesome, man. That is awesome. Now, I have all the steps here, but I really think number one is probably the most important. And tell us about, you mentioned face your fears. You really have to dig into the data and what it really is, right?
So coming to sort of the subject at hand that we were going to talk about is just sort of dropping PPOs or bad PPOs to be more specific. So as we were doing this work with dental practices, they were asking us a lot of questions about their PPOs and how do they start to move away because they're starting to adopt their membership plan, get more patients on it. And obviously PPOs for a large amount of PPOs don't make any sense for practices. They're not profitable. So they started asking us, can you help us basically? So yeah, we created this playbook, and step number one, you're absolutely right. It's the biggest one. It's getting over fears and facing your fears. So what we hear from a lot of dental practices is, they have a lot of frustrations and anger towards insurance, but they don't take action, right, to move away. And what they're really, the end of it is, whatever the reason is, they're worried and they have fear that if they make significant changes to their PPOs, they potentially will impact their production, how many patients they have, their profitability. And I can't argue with that. I think that's all valid and it's something they need to consider, right? But if you don't find the answers to those fears or get to the bottom of those fears, you can't make decisions to move yourself forward. So what we're just proposing is, look, just start, and we outlined the steps in this playbook, start working through these steps and you'll start to uncover, right, the basis of, hey, this, we can move forward and I shouldn't fear this anymore. Or, you know what, maybe I did validate my fears and I'm not going to move forward. But without uncovering the data underneath, you're just, you know, it's, you can't move forward, basically.
Right, right. What's the biggest, like the biggest myth that you typically hear? Now, I'll couple that with this, is that there are a lot of times where I'll do a seminar and I'll go, hey, does anyone have a membership program? And I have them all the hands go up. And then I go, who loves it? And then put your hands down. And who does it? And then there's like two people that have their hands up and don't love it. And inevitably, I always say, first of all, before I ask you why you don't love it, how many patients do you have it? And they go, well, I had three. And I'm like, well, you don't, I can't use your information in this survey, because I feel like you got to get to a certain critical mass of like 20 or 25 before you can even start to analyze. It's the whole ready, fire, then aim thing, at least for me in this whole process. I mean, what do you think?
So on, as far as analyzing PPOs and understanding how PPOs are behaving for your practice or performing for your practice, the number one issue we typically see, or the number one whatever surprise we see, is actually how many are unprofitable for a practice. So we've done analysis for multiple dental practices, and what we see is anywhere between a half and 60 or 70% of the PPOs that dental practice is accepting are actually creating negative profit for their practice. And if you don't know that, I don't care what you do on top of your practice, whether you, you know, bring in new patients, right? Or you, I don't know, add new procedures, right? You adopt Invisalign or you do whatever. It doesn't matter what you're doing there if that baseline dental plan strategy is not correct for your practice, because you're just building everything on top of something that's not profitable. So we are always, the practices are always a bit shocked to find out the percentage of PPOs that are unprofitable for the practice.
Right. Yeah. And one of the things we, you know, as we coach dentists, I'm like, it's not about getting rid of PPOs. Start building the fee for service side of things and the PPOs will become less of an issue, which leads us to number two, is just the implementation. Now, I'm going to couple number two with the team's fears too, because you might be a dentist watching this go, I'm all in. Well, you got to deal with a whole bunch of people at work. And how do I deal with that? I know you guys have a great support program, but give me some words of wisdom as I go back and talk to my team.
Yeah. So now, so to step number two, so before you start to, you know, and it, drop PPOs may be the wrong word. There's part of the dropping, part of it's renegotiating. But before you even start that process of understanding exactly what you want to do there, negotiate or drop and so on, what you want to do is put the membership plan in place so that you have basically a net for your patients that, you know, if you do move away from a PPO, you have a net for them to be caught in that they can, you know, rely on a dental plan that, you know, they can rely on. And also, obviously, for your uninsured patients, it's a good thing to have in place anyway. But to your point about fear around implementing a dental membership plan, you know, dental practice has never done this before, right? So, you know, how do you price it, the subscription, right? How do you design the plan itself? What should be included? What shouldn't be included? How do you discount your fee schedule properly and things like that? And we've done a lot of work. We are approaching 5,000 dentists on our platform. We've learned a lot through this, and we have a lot of tools and support that help a practice do the design of the membership plan, the implementation, the promotion of the membership plan. So we just make it really, really easy for you to get it right when you're doing all that. But there absolutely is fear in that initial design process.
Right. And typical adoption, I mean, a couple weeks, would it be 2 weeks, a week before I could actually start implementing this? What do you think?
Yeah, it depends on your practice and depends on sort of how your, you know, your readiness for this. We've had practices implement in a day. They come in, like, just from a time perspective, these will be spaced out depending on what your time frame is. But this is the process, is you'll have a consult with one of our clear success managers who will talk to you about your practice, what your goals are, the membership plan, what do your patient demographics look like? You know, all kinds of different stuff, but they'll help you design the plan. We even have something we call smart pricing, which is an algorithm that will spit out a range of pricing for your membership plan. And it'll tell you, okay, you should be between these sort of numbers, and they'll help, you know, sort of pick something in between those two. But the net is that consult can take 45 minutes to an hour. Once that consult's done, the membership plan is basically set, it's ready to go, but then we want to train your team. So there's another session set up, and it can either be virtual. So we have videos the team can watch, or we can have somebody come on live and do the training. And it takes about an hour to do the training online. And then once that's done, you're ready to go. We ship you your marketing materials, promotional materials, brochures and stuff for your office, and then you're off and running. So we've had practices do both of those steps in the same day. And we've shipped the product, the brochures overnight, and they're up and running the next day. We've had others who take weeks to do it, right? Our average, just so you know, our average is about 17 days.
Okay. Now go back to, you said smart pricing. Okay. Because that's the one that I often have the challenge with a lot of young dentists is like, well, where do I price these fees? So do you have a computer system that, is it based on, like, how does smart pricing work?
Well, this is the reason I feel or seem smart sometimes, Kirk, is because our CTO has a PhD in machine learning from University of Pennsylvania, and he actually created an algorithm based on the practices that are on our platform. So he took the thousands of dental practices on our platform. He looked at their pricing, their subscription pricing, and their fee schedule pricing, and then he correlated that to how many patients they were adding to their membership plan. And he came up with an algorithm that basically takes a practice's fee schedule and spits out what the subscription pricing should be. And he gives you a range based on the success of dental practices on our platform. So it'll basically come back and say, okay, this plan should be priced anywhere between, let's say, $28 and $30. And you can decide, is it $29, $28, $30. But what he's found is, what his algorithm does is it finds the optimal value proposition point between the patient and your practice, where if you price it too high, the patients aren't going to be interested. It's going to be, you know, obviously too costly. If you price it too low, your dental practice isn't going to be interested because it's not going to be profitable enough. So the algorithm finds the point in between those two things where everybody benefits and everybody gets value from it.
Okay, that's frightening and exciting. And you just removed my fear, which is like, okay, where do I put this? I mean, now if you guys are watching this, this is what this guy does. He takes challenges and removes them. Like that's a pretty good challenge. Now, the other one too, is you are always, and this is step number three, is really intentional about how we phrase this, the language we use. And another inherent challenge is people use the word discount plan. So we're gonna create this thing. So describe that. So stop offering discount plans is step number three. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so most practices we talk to and work with will have some type of discount plan they offer. And just to explain what the difference between a discount plan is and a membership plan. So a discount plan is a third party puts a plan together. It can be Carrington. It can be the insurer. They pretty much all have one. And basically what it is a patient will pay them anywhere. What we've seen is anywhere between $100 and $200 a year. So they pay, let's say, Carrington that. Then what Carrington does is give that patient a discounted fee schedule, right? And basically that fee schedule looks just like your insurance fee schedules. So $100 or $200 got eaten up by the third party, Carrington in this example. And what do you get? You get a discounted fee schedule just like insurance. Doesn't make any sense, right? And what drives me actually insane is we'll find dental practices, a lot of them, by the way, a high percentage of them, will put these brochures out on their front desk. And so what are you doing? You're inviting your uninsured patients to go contract with a third party who they're going to pay for the right to take discounted fees from you. This is the one that drives me nuts right out of all this. So what we tell practices, hey, if you're going to put a membership plan in and you're going to be looking at your PPOs and trying to figure out which ones you stay with, which ones you don't, which ones you negotiate with, just get rid of the discount plan. You don't need it anymore, right? Your membership plan takes the position of the discount plan, and it's much better for you and it's much better for the patient. So just get rid of those things.
Yeah. And I love how, you know, being intentional about the language is important. I don't want to give a discount. I like the idea of either savings or, you know, some type of a benefit. Now I want to move on to step number four, because this is another one that's pretty hard. You have to analyze your PPOs. So do you guys do that? And even if you do that, how would I even start to do that as a GP or as a dentist? What the heck am I analyzing?
So to answer your first question, do we do it? We currently don't do it, but I'll come back. Maybe we'll have another podcast down the road.
You never know, right?
It's a problem I'm trying to solve. It's actually a complicated problem, but I have my CTO on it. Okay. But the net is, What you want to do is, and we provide steps in the playbook. We also provide a video, by the way, that steps you through this, because I know math can be intimidating and some people just completely shy away from it. But if you watch the video, which we'll send a link to you, you can do this step by step. So what you want to do is first just inventory your insurance participation. So just start at the basics. You know, which plans do we participate in? Who are my participating doctors? What's the fee schedule? And so on and so forth. And there's a list of things in the playbook that you want to document from those insurance plans that you're in network with. And it's amazing, by the way, how many practices don't even know the answer to those questions. Like, that's a starting point that they, you know, they haven't looked at in a long time. By the way, the average, Kirk, in the U.S. right now is a dental practice is in network with 15 dental plans.
Wow.
It's gone up. About 10 years ago, it was 5. It's now 15. And so, yeah, a lot of practices are just bringing in whatever, not even knowing if it's profitable for their practice, right? So, and we've seen, I've worked with practices that have 20 or 25. So anyway, first, inventory them. And the second is do the math. And I won't go through that. It's, you know, that's why we created this video. But what you're trying to do by doing the math, it's really simple math, but we knock it out step by step. You're trying to figure out which ones are profitable for my practice and which ones aren't. And the way we do this math, it doesn't get you perfectly to profitable or not profitable, but it gives you a good understanding relative of to your fee-for-service patients versus these dental plans. And these dental plans on a spectrum, which ones are more profitable than others. You can get a really good sense of it by going through some simple math. Right. So, yes, this step is very, very important for you to start basically triaging which dental plans work for my practices and which ones don't work for my practice.
Right. And you don't have to comment on this if you don't want, but one of the things we get education as coaches, and Sandy Hudson, who's a great friend of ours, was educating us on what shared agreements were. And my mind blew up at that time. And I mean, are you seeing that? I mean, a lot of these insurance companies, explain what a shared agreement like, because when I first heard about it, I'm like, that's not fair. Like, it's crazy, right? What's you a shared agreement?
Oh, yeah. So, well, I'm talking about solving this problem. This is a big part of it. So, right. So yeah, like a shared network is, you know, one dental plan provider or network might sell you another network's plan that comes with theirs. Okay. So if you sign up for Aetna, you might also be signing up for Carrington and MetLife. But you really got to look at these sort of, and I'm not saying that's an example, but it's like you get multiple plans when you sign up for one is sort of the net. And then there's rules about that, including you get the lowest fee schedule across those networks. And it gets really complicated, Kirk, to even understand who you're being, you know, what fee schedule is driving or is the basis for any one of the dental plans that you're accepting through these networks. Yeah. So you really need to break these things down and understand who did you sign that agreement with and what's the fee schedule that came with it.
Right.
So anyway,
I didn't sign up for that. And I'm like, I know, but you didn't read the fine print. It's a shared agreement. Yeah. And the other thing, and Dave, I don't know. That's why I'm saying this. The only way we found is if you edit EOBs a few times a week just to look for abnormalities, which we've never done, but some dentists are doing them now. And they're like, wait a minute, this makes no sense. And it triggers off a set of events. So I don't want to go down that rabbit hole, but I wanted to share that on our side of learning, we're seeing the complexity skyrocket with this. I'm like, well, that's crazy. Now we're getting crazy. You know,
we've actually discovered also working with some dental practices is because obviously it's confusing to the practice. The networks are confused sometimes as well.
Right.
And the networks will pay from the wrong fee schedule. And so there is value, and I'm not saying we're not going to go over there at this point yet, but over time, there's value in auditing, you know, what fee schedule an insurance provider is actually paying from, because often they'll make mistakes.
The Best Practices Show with Kirk Behrendt is brought to you exclusively by ACT Dental, the ultimate provider of dental practice management solutions for dentists and their teams. ACT Dental is committed to helping you build a better practice and a better life. If you're looking to grow your production, motivate your team, get back on track, and create the practice you've always dreamed about, look no further. Give us a call at 800-851-8186 or visit us at actdental.com.
Okay, now step number five, that has changed too, because I have all of these letters that I used to use 10, 15 years ago that dentists would send to the biggies and go, look, we're not accepting your fee schedule. We're re-. And some of them don't take the letters, don't negotiate anymore. And so they opted for the whole, well, I'm just going to drop it. And I'm like, you can't drop it. It's 50% of your practice. So you have step number five is renegotiate or drop bad PPOs. What's the new learning on this?
So I'm not sure if it's new or not, but sort of the way we consult to practices on this is, so you did the math, right? And you broke down your PPOs and you can start to get a sense of which ones are profitable or not profitable for your practice. So let's pick a, just to start, by the way, you should do this sort of one at a time. We don't advise just suddenly going after, let's say you have 10 PPOs going out all after them all at once. Let's start with a plan that you have low production with, so you're doing very little with, and maybe you have a handful of patients coming in with that dental plan, and it's not profitable. So it's a poor profit plan for you that you're probably going to drop anyway.
Right.
So what you want to do is, and as part of this math process, you come up with the fees that you do a lot that are, you know, within a unprofitable plan, right? And so you basically take a small production plan with low fees and low profitability, and let's negotiate a handful of procedure codes with them. So you might isolate 10 procedure codes that are driving your production with that dental plan. And let's go to the plan and ask them for new fees. And you want to actually suggest fees to them. So go right to them. You want to also put your position, your practice, as why they would want to negotiate with you. So maybe, you know, you're valuable to them in some way. Maybe you have some unique skills that you can offer to them, or obviously patient volume would matter to them as well. Maybe you have a great retention rate, or you provide high quality care that you can document, like, you know, basically create a pitch back to the dental plan of why they should lower these fees for you. And by the way, if you're going to threaten that you're going to move away from them or drop them, be ready to do it, right?
Right.
So my suggestion is first try to use honey, right? And tell them why they should negotiate these fees with you and increase these, you know, let's say 10 fees.
Right.
If for some reason they won't do that and they're not willing to engage and it's a low production, you know, plan for you and it's unprofitable for you, then threaten to terminate maybe is the second step or third step, depending on, you know, how long it takes to get through this. And then if you do threaten that and they say they're still not going to negotiate, then drop them.
Right, right. Now, speak to this too. So as you can see with the plan that Dave's already laid out, like, you don't want to get hyper-focused on just dumping PPOs. Again, 90% of the people I talk to, that's where they just go. We're going to start building the fee-for-service side of things, which would include the membership, and then analyze this over time, which ones are the best use of our time overall. Is that correct?
Yeah, you don't want to rush this. Yeah, so if PPOs are fundamental to your practice, you want to work, as I said, let's work with the small ones first. The small ones that are unprofitable, let's work with them first. As you learn through the process, you know, start to get your legs, get more confidence. Your membership plan is in place. You're driving more productions from your membership plan. Maybe even you've taken, you know, some of our employer tools and signed up some employers. Like, now let's talk about the next one and the next one and the next one. This is not an overnight process. This takes time.
Right, right. Now, this is where it all comes together is step number six. And number seven, but step number six is support your patients through the transition. So I want you to get specific. Let's talk about the concept. And then I want to get specific because I think that'll help a lot of dentists with how do you talk to patients when they go, I need this. My husband works at the plant or whatever. So just you guide us through that.
Yeah. So the first thing is obviously identifying your patients, right? So go to your practice right management system, identify the patients that are on a particular dental plan that you're planning on dropping, and you know, get their contact information. That's sort of step number one. Then second part of this is you got to be proactive in this communication. It can't be overnight. You can't say, hey, next week we're dropping this plan, right? We suggest a 6-month series of communication. So plan it out 6 months in advance. And it can be a set of emails or calls or discussions, you know, when they come into the office that are sort of explaining to them why you're doing this. And the thing is, there's a few things that we suggest as part of that communication. One is be very transparent, right? let them know why you're making this change. It's really important for them to understand why. And so there's a few ways to go about that, right? One is, under a lot of these dental plans, with the reimbursements they're providing to you, you can't provide the quality care that the patient deserves and needs, right? And wants, and what you want to provide. So that's part of it, is quality care. Also, you can let them know some of the issues with the dental plan and how hard it is for you to manage and administrate it, and the cost it, you know, creates for your dental practice, right? So you, the why is really important. You also want to tell them, if they're going to stay on that plan and they still want to come to your office, what the payment process looks like in the future, you know, once you drop the plan. So, again, be transparent about this. Let them know how you're going to help. Maybe you're going to help them file the forms for being reimbursed. But just make sure you're providing some support there. That's a big recommendation of ours, is don't leave them high and dry. Make sure they know you're there to support them, and you're going to help them however you can to get their reimbursements. The other thing is, you know, I also let them know you have them covered. So if you put this membership plan in place, right, and that, you know, let's say now, to your point, let's say that, you know, insurance plan doesn't make, you know, it's going to be too expensive for them, because, you know, now they got to pay the difference between the reimbursed rate and the UCR. Let them know you have this membership plan that actually is more economical for them, right? And maybe they want to transition over to your membership plan. But the net is, make sure you're proactive about it, be transparent, communicate the why, and provide options for them, you know, if that it's a problem for them to stay in that plan.
Right. Now, I get this question all the time, so I'm just going to give it to the expert and see how, I think I know the answer is, you can't have patients double dip. They can't use their insurance. And I mean, what's your thought on that?
So we've actually looked at a lot of cases like that. Typically, it doesn't work. So If you have benefits left on your insurance plan, you can't use benefits from the membership plan at the same time. But some patients run out of benefits under their insurance plan. So they might be 6 months into the year of their insurance plan and they hit their cap, right? These caps aren't very high. So if you got some type of procedure that goes over, let's say, $1,000, you have no more insurance benefits. So you can, at that point, buy a membership plan if you want. And sometimes it makes sense and sometimes it doesn't. It just depends on how much care you need over the coming 6 months. So we tell practices, just look at it patient by patient and make a decision based on their needs.
Right. Now, also mention this, you know, some people think, well, I don't know, I'm kind of doing the math in my head. I don't know why this would make sense. At the end of the year, you kind of want to take a look at everything. And we call it a fee, you know, analysis or an adjustment. Like, you're going to take a look at what this did for the practice and then make an adjustment on some other levers that you could pull, right?
I'm not sure. I've always been quite following that.
Well, you know, if you're going to give away something for a membership program, you know, I always tell people, just do the analysis at the end of the year. It's going to tell you a lot, because their first thought is, well, I'm going to give away a percentage of this. Why not? And then I always say, well, take a look at how many people were on it. How much did you give away? And then what kind of restorative did you get in return?
It always
comes back in full. Do you know what I mean? They always go, oh my gosh, the math is like a no-brainer, you know?
Yeah, and we will actually do that analysis for our practices. We've done it many times. So what a lot of times happens, Kurt, to your point, is they'll put a membership plan in place. Let's say they give a 20% discount on, you know, let's say all treatment outside of preventive care.
Right.
They'll say, hey, I had a write-off this, you know, $20,000 this year under the membership plan, therefore it's not working. And we're like, no, that's, don't actually... The more write-offs you have under your membership plan, typically the better the membership plan is doing, just so you priced it right.
Right.
So what we've seen, and this is, again, the average in our across our practices we've analyzed, is they'll see a 2x increase in treatment outside of hygiene when they're on a membership plan versus when they're not. And so you would, I just asked the question to a practice, would you give a 20% discount on UCR to double your production? Right. It's a no-brainer that you would do that.
Right. Yeah. Very well said. And then I want to just go a little bit further. This might be a separate episode you and I could do. I keep my ear to the ground, and like, I hear so many cool things. There's a dentist in Kansas City. He does this. He's like, it's great for new patients. Like, you know, when they come in with a broken tooth, I get them out of pain. I don't necessarily do all the treatment, but I always say to them, look, I'm going to get you out of pain. There's no charge today if you sign up for our membership program. And they always go, well, what is that? So they do kind of like a soft dollar giveaway. Maybe that's another episode, is like, what are the best things you've ever heard that a dentist has or team members have said to a patient to go, oh, that totally makes sense. Does anything come to mind? like an easy way to sell this to patients. So,
yeah, the emergency patient is the easy way, right? I mean, right. That is very, very, very simple. And by the way, Kirk, a real cool story about that is when COVID hit and the practices were shut down except for emergency care, we were still selling quite a few membership plans. Wow. And it was because exactly what you're talking about. And the practices were thanking us for, you know, having this in place during COVID. Because obviously also not just that the patient needed emergency care, but a lot of patients were either, you know, they either lost a job or they had a fear of losing a job. And this is a way for them to affordably get the care they need. So that was, for me, the coolest thing to see is that the membership plans were still being sold even when emergency patients only were coming into dental practices.
That's very cool. And I had a dentist who had about 550 membership patients on. He's like, this is not the goal at all, but like, that's recurring revenue.
Oh,
I'm old. You know what I mean? Like he knows better. That's not like the goal, but the fact is it was nice because he could make, you know, payments on things, whatever. It just calmed him a little bit when he told me that. I'm like, wow, I wasn't even thinking of that, but that's a unintended benefit.
Yeah, absolutely. So think about what happened to your insurance payments, right? When your office shut for COVID, right? They were completely cut off. Did the insurer stop collecting the premiums from the employers? They did not, right? Oh. And so they just collected profit. What we had with membership plans is, I'd have to go back and look. We had the number before, but we were, you know, still processing millions of dollars of payments for practices who, to your point, this was enabling them to keep their practices alive during the shutdown. Now, the other thing we did, by the way, and this is why this shows the power of a membership plan as well, is we actually released a feature very quickly after COVID hit that enabled dental practices to sort of put on hold subscription payments if they wanted to. And we weren't suggesting they do or they don't, but we said, hey, if a patient can't get in and they're frustrated, and let's say they have a renewal coming up in a month and you're shut for the next month, right, just extend their subscription another month, right? Would an insurer do that? No, they wouldn't. But we can make decisions with our practices that are smart for the practice and smart for the patient because we have control of it.
Personally, I think it's a no-brainer. For young dentists watching this, think about this. I mean, in 30 years, you're going to sell your practice. A great deal of your practice valuation is going to be based on real patients that have been coming in over and over and over again. There's no greater data to show like these people come in and they're reliable patients. And, you know, we take really good care of them. I do want to talk about number 7 because after all this in place, how do I use this as a marketing tool? You have listed here, step number 7 is we're going to market to get new patients, right? Okay, yeah, so how do you do that?
Yeah, and by the way, part of the math that we sort of skipped over that you can see in that video is to determine how many, if you drop a PPO, we're going to make an estimate on how many patients you're going to lose because of dropping that PPO. And then that will tell you basically, and there's a little calculation you got to do, how many fee-for-service patients or membership plan patients do you need to attract to your practice to make up for the patients you're going to lose if you drop that PPO. And so what you want to do, obviously, as part of this whole, you know, dropping bad PPOs is to have a marketing plan ready to go to attract those new patients you're going to need to fill the gap for the ones that leave. So for me, the one step, and you can see the steps in the playbook, but the one step a lot of practices skip that is so important, this isn't just dental. I mean, I think about Clear and I think about my prior experience in other companies that I've started is you got to find your voice. Right. So what are you, right, as a dental practice? What differentiates you? And it can be as simple as I care about my patients. I mean, it can be that simple, right? And Kirk, I know you're an expert in this area. Like, find your voice that you ground your practice on. And, you know, that's the starting point. And you got to go through, okay, what do you care about? What do you want your practice to stand for? What type of patients are you trying to attract, right? What's your voice out to them? What would attract them to your practice? If you don't do that step, you're sort of wasting a lot of money down the road marketing something that either you don't believe in or doesn't resonate with the patients you're targeting. So that's the critical step to me. And then you go through some steps about, you know, how much budget do you want? How do you target? How do you message? And so on and so forth, which are laid out in the playbook.
Yeah, I love the find your voice thing. And just, it's got to be natural, authentic. I heard a dental assistant out east say, she said this during COVID. It was cool because patients would come in and go, I lost my job. I don't know. And she would say, don't worry, we got your back. You know, we've got something. Now, you don't have to use it, but if you want to get the dentistry done it's a good way for patients just like you that are in the same boat. Like, let them know you're not alone. We've got something for you. Don't worry. We love our patients. We got your back. I love that. I was like, you say that? She's like, yeah, I say that all the time. Now, do they always do it? No, but I want to let them know there's an option here. Like, no option is not an option. We've got options here, you know? Yeah. So,
and we actually, as part of the welcome kit you get with Claire, is we actually have scripts for the hygienist, for the dental assistant, for the front desk, for the dentist themselves, about how to talk about your membership plan to your patients. And what we learned, and we did this actually through market research, we would talk to patients and get their feedback. And we went through, actually, it was like an 8-hour process where we'd bring patients in, talk to them, get their feedback, adjust the messaging, bring new patients in, talk to them. And we kept looping around until we got it to the point we thought was final. And here's one little insight. You can get this obviously when you join Claire, but one of the insights was to speak from your heart, like you're talking about, Kirk, and say why something is important to you. And so let me just give you a small example. What we learned resonated really well, both with the hygienist and for the patient, was the hygienist would say, hey, if you join my membership plan, I know you're going to come in more often. You're going to get more cleanings, which is good for me, right? That's my job. I like to be busy. I like people to come in, right? I enjoy the work I do, and so I'll see you more. And I can also obviously improve your oral health by doing that. And you know, obviously, the patient, you can explain some of the benefits to them. From a doctor's point, one thing that resonated actually really well, and it sounds counterproductive, whatever, but it actually works, was they could say, "Hey, look, I've dealt with insurance plans for 20 years, whatever the number is." And they're just administratively heavy for me. They just cost my business a lot, in which then I need to, sort of try to pass that on to patients. It just becomes a mess. I hate doing that. I'd rather be direct with my patients. And I'm the one responsible, and you can have a direct conversation with me and I'll pass savings directly to you. Like, that resonates. Patients like that. They're used to direct models. So that idea of, talking from the heart and not just talking about the benefits to the patient, but the benefits to you or your practice is also important.
It's awesome. It's awesome, buddy. Well, I know I'm going to have you back again and again and again to talk about different components of this. And if you're a young dentist listening to this, don't think about it. Just do it. And you'll thank all of us later, just because it's a great way to build your practice the right way, your way, the way you want to do it. But Dave, what last thoughts or insights do you have on this?
So the one thing, you're going to see more of this from me, Kirk, and probably the next time we get together, we'll talk about this. But if you don't control the dental plans that are in your practice, you won't control your practice.
Right.
That's sort of the net of it, because they create the fundamental building block of your practice, which is, how do I get paid and what procedures can I do? What treatments can I offer? Right. When and for what patient? And so if that is not correct, it doesn't matter what you do on top of that. You're going to continue to have issues, fundamentally with your dental practice. So my last thought is, and obviously we talked about a lot of this and the pieces you can start to work on, is get the dental plan layer of your practice right.
Yeah. Amen, brother. Thank you so much. Now, we're going to attach a link eventually. Now, we got to produce the show notes, put it all, but we'll attach a link to the playbook. Now, tell us what's in the playbook, Dave. Here, it's all these 7 steps.
It's all these 7 steps with lots of detail, much more than I've gone into. It also has a supplemental sheet on how to do the math. So it's actually a step-by-step guide on how to do the math, and a video that goes with that sheet that you can follow and replay and slow down and do whatever you want. So we basically try to give you everything you need to go do this analysis and determine what you do with your PPOs.
Yeah. Well, here, the ACT Dental coaches are big fans of Clear. I just think you guys are awesome. And so, Dave, for the benefit of people listening on iTunes who might not be, like, how do I get a hold of you? Where do I start? Like, where do I go?
So there's, I'll give you two things. So one, you can just go up to our website. So clear.com, which is KLEER.com. And you'll see there's all kinds of materials out there, explains a lot of things. But you also, the one thing that practices typically start with is a live online demo with some of our team members. So you can book that, there's a calendar up there. You can just book some time that's convenient for you and get that done and see a lot more details about our product and what we offer. And then the other thing is, I always offer my email. If somebody wants to reach out, it's just dave@clear.com. If you have any questions or whatever, you're confused by anything, feel free to send me an email.
Awesome, brother. Well, I appreciate this so much. I know we went way over time, but I love this stuff. And I think this is an inevitable piece, or an important piece, of just creating a great fee-for-service practice in the future. And I love it. I just love it. So Dave, I just can't thank you enough. Stick around while we say good night to everybody else here. Thank you guys for watching, listening to the Best Practices Show. We just eclipsed the 100,000 audio download. I don't even know how that works, but I appreciate you guys joining in, sharing this stuff with your friends. Keep sending us suggestions for things that you guys want to see in the future, whether it be from Dave or any of the other guests that we have on, and I'll do my best to get them lined up. We've got an incredible lineup coming already. And then, as I did at the beginning, I'll just invite you, show up at our Facebook page. We got a private Facebook group, over 13,000 of you in there. I don't even know how it works, but like, you guys are all in there and everybody's helping each other. So if you have questions about memberships or anything, a lot of people asking about the next round of funding in there. So join us over there and you'll see, you'll feel very supported in that whole thing. And so until we see you next time, you guys keep watching the Best Practices Show. You guys enjoy the rest of your evening. There you have it. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Best Practices Show. I hope you sure did enjoy it. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to us. We are always here for you. And if you haven't done so already, make sure you subscribe to the show on iTunes or wherever you consume podcasts. And if you really enjoy it, you can leave a comment or a 4 or 5 star review. But until we see you next time, keep watching the Best Practices Show.